This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at georgetownvisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There are so many beautiful feasts this week coming up in the week in the past, and it's really difficult, I think, to ignore any one of them or all of them just to talk about the ordinary Sunday readings. For example, we just celebrated two feasts about the angels. The Feast of the Archangels, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and the feast just yesterday was the Feast of the Guardian Angels. So maybe today I thought we'd take an opportunity to remind ourselves about the angels. We need to remember that we are not the only intelligent beings in the universe. We need to be reminded that God has created persons who are not humans, but are also made in the image and the likeness of God. And of course, that's the angels. Of course, moderns poo-poo angels. They scoff at the idea of angels. They laugh at us and they mock at us for believing in such beings, and they tease us and tell us that such quaint beliefs are the residue of primitive times and the medieval childishness. How many of us, all our lives, have seen cartoons about the good little angel on this shoulder and the bad little angel on this shoulder, and they all got halos and wings and horns and red suits? Well, they're trying to make us think that it's ridiculous to believe in such creatures. They want us to think, well, this is just imaginary. My goodness, to believe in something you cannot see, like angels? Of course, they have no problem believing in aliens. They have no problem believing in extraterrestrials, which are very chic these days, very contemporary, and almost sophisticated. Somehow it seems to them to be more liberal and more open-minded to acknowledge the existence of angels rather than the existence of angels. In fact, they delight in thinking that belief in aliens is subversive of God and of the Church, because they think that if we were to conclusively discover the existence of intelligent life on other planets, elsewhere in the universe, outside of humans, they think that if we were to conclusively discover that, then that would somehow put traditional and cherished doctrines about God and Jesus and the Church and salvation in jeopardy, if not destroy them outright. And they're happy to think that. Sorry, been there, done that. We already believe in extraterrestrials, and they are hugely more intelligent than we are. And they have already been here, and they have visited us, and many of them have actually remained, and they live among us. And these are the angels. Now, an angel is a pure spirit. And God, like God and like us, an angel has a mind and a free will. An angel can think and reason, and an angel can deduce and induce and can make conclusions and decisions, but way more powerfully and way more brilliantly than can humans. You see, an angel does not possess a body or materiality, and therefore it is not burdened by things like gravity and distance and weight and bones and flesh and blood. These are things that we possess and have to deal with. If I decide to walk over there, in order to get there, I have to resist gravity and the air and the atmosphere and arthritis and creaking joints and old bones. I can get there, but it's a lot slower than if I were an angel, not slowed down by all those human concerns. Our bodies and the difficulties our bodies give us are what make us human. Well, an angel is made in the image and the likeness of God. So not only does the angel have reason, but it also has a free will. And therefore, an angel can make acts of the will. It can choose yes or no. It can choose to love or choose to not love. But an angel does so much more freely and powerfully than humans do, because an angel, again, is not hindered by materiality. So all of this is to say that we believe that God has created an actual race of beings far superior to us. And we also believe that there are classes and divisions among these angels, some higher than others, though all are higher than we are. Now, one type of angel is the archangel. He's very powerful and very helpful to God and also to humans. Those are the angels we always hear about in the Bible. They're either messengers of God, like Raphael or Gabriel, or commanders of the angelic legions, like Michael, who drove out another angel, Lucifer, drove him out of heaven. And their feast was last week. And what a joy just to contemplate the existence of angels and what they must be like. Believe me, for thousands of years, artists have absolutely delighted in painting and sculpting the beauty and the strength and the dignity of the archangels. Now, yesterday, though, was the feast of the guardian angels. It is firm Catholic teaching that God has given every one of us, at conception, our own guardian angel, who stays with us for the whole of our lives to encourage us and to protect us and to help us achieve our final goal of salvation, dying in the grace of God and going to heaven. Now, we do not see or feel or hear these guardian angels, but all throughout our lives, we are influenced by them and we are helped by them. I cannot help but think that we are also loved by them. But somehow they are pleased and delighted to guard over us and watch over us. And I imagine that at the end of our lives, when we meet our guardian angels and we see them, so to speak, face to face, they will tell us about all the adventures and the troubles and the foibles and the hard times that we gave them as they tried, sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully, to save us from the occasional disasters in our lives. I can imagine our conversation in paradise when our guardian angel will ask us, "Do you remember when you did this and that happened and it worked out pretty good for you?" And you'll say, "Yes, I remember that." And your angel will say, "That was when you listened to me and you paid attention to my promptings in your soul and heart." And then maybe your guardian angel will say to you, "But do you remember on another occasion when it was terrible and everything fell apart and things were ruined in your life for years?" And you tell me, "Yeah, I remember that too. And it was awful. It was a moral and personal disaster I had to endure for way too long, at least until maybe I finally went to confession." And your guardian angel tells you that all that happened because you did not listen to him until perhaps years later, when the grace of God finally softened your heart and you could almost hear your angel breathe a sigh of relief. Finally, they're listening. I love the idea and I love the thought of angels in general and guardian angels in particular. Now, the guardian angels are happy to do God's will by protecting us and guarding us and watching out for us. And these angels, I think, really do love us. And probably they love us because God loves us. And all they want is what God wants. Now, there are the bad angels. And they have actually rejected this role and relationship with humans. They do not love us, and they do not wish us well. In fact, they despise us, and they despise Jesus and Mary, his mother, whom they reject as the queen of the angels, a human, a queen of me. Now, these, of course, are the devils, and Lucifer is at their head. You see, even before the creation of Adam and Eve, God had given all the angels a test to see whether or not they love God enough to accept his will. And the tradition holds that this test consists of God revealing to the angels that he would create a creature, us, also made in his image and likeness, but with a body. These would be the humans. And he would create them first in Adam and Eve. But they would sin and reject God, who, however, loved them too much to let them damn themselves. And so to save them, remember, God is revealing this to the angels. He would send his son, he told them, to become like them, to take on human flesh and frailty, and he would allow his son to be captured by them, to be spit upon, to be bruised by them, to be struck and beat up by them, and then finally placed on a cross, and he would allow his son's hands and feet and side to be pierced so cruelly, and then to die at the hands of these humans. And then God asked the angels what they thought of all this love for these humans. And Lucifer and all of his minions said, "That's disgusting. We reject the idea that God would so demean himself as to take on human flesh in the form of these human animals, and then to be hurt by them and beat up by them. And horror of horrors, that we would have to worship this Son of God, divine, yes, but worship his humanity as well. That is too much." And we say no to that. And with that no, Lucifer and all the demons were damned for all eternity. There is a special hatred for humans within the souls of the bad angels, for we were the cause of their fall. The only thing that drives Lucifer and the bad angels is the desire to hurt God by hurting us. And they spend all their energies setting humans against God, against his son, against his church, against his will. And when we go against God's will, we hurt ourselves. Life and love become so increasingly difficult and uneasy and painful. By definition, going against God's will is sin. And we place our souls and ourselves in mortal jeopardy when we do not do God's will, as Lucifer and his devils did not do God's will. I would imagine then that the guardian angels have their work cut out for them. They spend their time with us not so much saving us from accidents and pitfalls, but from their fellow angels, the devils, who tempt us to think that our will is superior to God's, or that his will need not be obeyed in every instance. You know, one of the hallmarks of true love, I think, is the joy we feel in our hearts when those whom we love succeed. That's why the joy of the angels is deep and lasting when we do God's will. Because that is what will get to heaven, get us to heaven, and they have the joy of knowing that they helped us. Yes, I do believe that the guardian angels love us, and we should return that love in grateful prayers to the God who gave them to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.